Hope everybody's Christmas was good. Since, you know, there's multiples of us, we can't all tell our stories, but I love Christmas. It's my favorite, I think my favorite birthday of Christmas. I think Christmas, because I get to see my kids be excited and I get stuff. So it's a combination of, although the agony, you know, of waiting for it, not as much now that I'm older, but oh, when you're a kid, and some of us don't have to remember that far, do we? But it, I remember the pure agony of waiting for Christmas, and it just like that agony reached its like peak on Christmas Eve, and you're just like couldn't hardly contain yourself, and then the evening of Christmas Eve was the most miserable, not the most wonderful time, the most miserable time of the year, because you had to wait all night, which felt like an eternity, and you had to force yourself to sleep because that's the quickest way to make time go by, but it just, and you did, and it. And I remember when we convinced my parents to, I'm looking down like I'm reading. I didn't write this down, obviously. But we convinced our parents to let us open one gift each on Christmas Eve. My grandma Konarski's present, we would pass it around and everybody would get to open one thing on Christmas Eve, which kind of, it's like a consolation prize. It was good, but it wasn't everything. And then, and I shouldn't, so apologies to the parents of the room, I shouldn't say the next part because this is going to cause uncomfortable conversations on the way home, like, why can't we do that? That I married into the Hispanic Christmas traditions, which involves a lot of cool stuff, but mainly, as soon as the bell tolls the first second of Christmas, so as soon as it's 12:01, on Christmas Eve, you get to open up every single present, all of them. and if you're like younger and you're thinking, that might be a cool thing to ask for. Oh, it is the best Christmas present. It is so good. Although, then the Christmas miracle is if you're in bed before 3 o'clock on the morning, which never happens. So, yeah, there's that, but you get to sleep till 2 the next day. Anyway, enough of the talky-talky. Let's pray and read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good and kind and loving to us. Thank you that you give us so many experiences in life, things that we don't need. But you give us people to enjoy these experiences with, and you give us love, and then you give us physical things. You give us so much. You bless us so richly. We see your love in all of that, and we thank you. Now, God, as we open up your word and read, I pray that you would guide our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so at the beginning of every year, I know it's the end of a year, but we're almost, you know, at the beginning. Go with me. We're close to the beginning of a year. I like for us to talk collectively about our purpose, just to remind ourselves, why do we exist? What should we be focused on together? What should we be doing together? And then inevitably, as I'm thinking about that, I end up thinking, and I think this is a pattern for the past several years, that not on purpose, it just happens. I end up starting to think, wait, before we talk about what we should be doing together collectively, what should each of us individually be focused on? What's the most important thing for each one of us as we go into a new year? What should we be thinking about? And so, in order to do that this year, at the beginning of this year, I want to encourage us by looking at a grave danger that is in front of all, that faces all of us. Jesus describes this danger. Look at Matthew 24. Shortly before going to the cross, Jesus gives us his warning. Matthew 24, we'll start in verse 11. Verse 12 is the phrase for us today. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will increase, or iniquity will increase, the love of many will grow cold. That's our phrase. The love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. That is our constant danger as people who would love God and know God. It is that our love for God can easily grow cold. The big idea for us today is merely that we are always in danger. We are constantly in danger of our love growing cold. What love is that could grow cold? Jesus is talking obviously about love for God. It's our love for God could grow cold. It's what God commanded his children to do over and over again, to love him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. One small example of many. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's the love that can grow cold. It's loving God, our Father, and Jesus, his Son, and his Spirit, and with everything that we are, with our hearts and with our affections, with what we value and what we desire, as the one who could completely and truly satisfy us. That love for God is desiring God. It's wanting to be with him and desiring to experience him. It's thinking about him and on his things. It's spending time in constant communion with him. It's finding our deepest happiness in our relationship with him. It's him consuming our lives. That's love for God. And so then Jesus says that the love of many will grow cold. How can our love grow cold? That language that he uses obviously describes a process. It's a gradual process. It's growing cold. It's something that I'm going to assume that most of us drink coffee because it's delicious and we can. And if you don't, just pretend whatever your favorite hot drink is. Why it's not coffee is beyond me, but anyway, keep going. So when you have that cup of coffee and it's hot and it's delicious and it's so hot, but it's so delicious that you dance with burning your mouth as you sip it, and you do the breathing thing that your mom said, don't breathe in when you're drinking your soup. You do that because you want to drink it right then because it's so hot and delicious, but you leave it, you forget about it for a minute, you get distracted, you get a phone call, then you go back to it. And it's close to being the grossest thing on earth when it gets warm. It gradually grows cold. That's what happens and can happen with our love for God, little by little growing cold. It's because we are always either growing to love God more and more, or we are slowly loving him a little bit less and a little bit less and a little bit less. And so then we have to ask ourselves, why? Why would that happen? How could we love our Creator, the one who loves us completely? How could we love him less? How could we grow to love him less? How could our love for him grow cold? And Jesus tells us in the text, if you're back in Matthew 24, he says, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And this could be just unrelated facts, but they're strung together. So They're not unrelated facts. Our love can grow cold because, false teaching leads us away from God because it derails, it takes us in a different direction, takes our mind and our heart from the truth of God. It literally leads us away from him. And then he says, because of, and so this is directly related, because of lawlessness or iniquity, because of rebellion against God, because of our sin, a direct cause for us not loving God as much is our sin. The more that we disobey God, the more that our heart drifts away from him. And our love for God grows cold because of personal neglect. That's why we're talking about this today. Even though nothing that I'm saying or will say today will be new news for any of us, the reason why we're talking about this in an important moment as we're about to step into a new year is because our love for God grows cold as we neglect it, as we neglect him, as we are distracted by our daily routine, the stuff we have to do, our worries and cares and our ambitions, the responsibilities that we carry in life, all the stuff that we carry. Life happens. And all of a sudden, we're not spending as much time with God as we did before. And we don't feel the need to read the Bible. Not the I should, and I kind of feel guilty because I didn't, but I mean the need, that I want to, the desire to read the Bible. We don't break forth in song spontaneously throughout the day. And when we do sing, because we're all together and we have to, because, Ben's looking at us, and if we don't sing, he'll know. When we do sing, we don't feel, our heart isn't moved like we know that it can be and it should be even. We don't find ourselves as we go through life daydreaming and thinking about Him and wanting to talk to Him and thinking about His Word, and phrases that we read in the Bible in the morning aren't popping into our minds as we go through the day. We don't desire to be with Him. We don't seek out moments of silence to converse with our Father. Our heart doesn't burn for speaking His gospel to other people. We don't long to gather together. Even if we do, because we have to, we don't desire it deeply. And in the midst of that, we can easily feel like everything is kind of okay because I still go to church most Sundays. We congregate, and so I'm okay. But during the week, in my time, as I live my life, we're not seeking God, and our love for Him little by little grows cold, and our enthusiasm and our passion and being our life being absorbed by Him and in Him just starts to wane. So think about times when you've experienced that in your life, that waning, that love growing cold. We are always in danger of that happening, always, no matter how good you feel with God in this moment. We are always in danger of our love growing cold. Look at the warning. Look at Revelation chapter 2. We see this danger of love growing cold in the warning that God gave the church in Ephesus. Revelation 2, look at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works and your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are patiently enduring and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So they're persevering. They're holding fast to true doctrine. Verse 4, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. That's a church that the Apostle Paul helped establish. They were still doing good works. They were holding on to true doctrine. They were doing the things, but they had left their first love. Their love for God had grown cold. It doesn't matter our story, what we've done, the purity of our teaching. I mean, it doesn't matter, but in terms of our love growing cold, doesn't necessarily matter. It doesn't matter how long we've walked with the Lord. We can all think of examples of that we've seen in our lives of how time with God doesn't necessarily mean our love won't grow cold. We are all constantly in danger of our love for God growing cold. And you look at what he said, remember from where you've fallen, repent, do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. It is fatal for our faith, for our love to grow cold. We can't know God. We can't be His child if we don't love Him. Look at what Paul writes. This is one of the most chilling verses in 1 Corinthians 16. He adds this as he's ending his letter to the Corinthians. And it is a chilling warning. You take it with what Jesus said, our love growing cold. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If anyone has no love for the Lord, if anyone doesn't love the Lord, let him be accursed. He's writing that to Christians, so you assume his first audience is not non-Christians who don't love the Lord, but it's Christians. And he's saying, if you don't love the Lord, let him be accursed. Our Lord, come. Maranatha, it's let Jesus come. We want to see him. Why? Because we love him. And if you don't, you're accursed. That is, that we read that, and that should, I don't know, it sends chills down my spine whenever I read that particular verse. It is essential to love Jesus if we want to be God's children. So how do we maintain the fervor of our love? How do we love God more and more with each passing day? How do we have more passion and devotion to our Savior? The thing is that we can feel emotions at times, but pure emotion isn't enough to sustain love. Love requires more than emotion. It is emotion, but it requires more than emotion. It's a weird thing. It's more than momentary emotion that sustains love. It requires communication. It requires present, constant presence. You have to be with the person that you love in order to keep loving them and to love them more. That's the secret, right, for a love to not grow cold. It's like in a marriage or a good friendship. If you don't invest regularly in that person, you grow apart little by little. All of a sudden, love grows cold. We know that in real life. But when you do invest in that person constantly, you grow closer together. Love doesn't grow cold. And that is because we are always growing closer to God or farther from Him, we maintain the fervor of our love for God by constantly dedicating ourselves to seeking His face always, every day. That's how we don't let our love grow cold, but rather love God more and more as each day goes by. Look at Psalm chapter 27. There's, in this psalm, we see an instructive example. It's an example of David's love for God, but in his love, in it, the example of him loving God and expressing that love for God, we're instructed in we see an instruction of how we can love God more and more. This will help us live as we look at David's example with fervent love for God that is growing and not shrinking, not growing cold. Start in verse 1, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. So he starts out with this reality of himself and God. God is the foundation of his life. Without him, we are nothing, but with him, we have everything. And keep reading in verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. There it is, right? The heart loves God, seeks after him, wants to be with him. It's a desire. I want to be close to you. God satisfies us and it becomes our focus and our desire. It consumes our life. Look at verse 5. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me. And answer me. We seek God when we have problems and he listens to us. We talk to him and he listens to us and he helps us and we sing his praises. That is what we do on Sunday, but that also is something that's supposed to cover the rest of our lives. We sing his praises. Verse 8, you have said, God, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. God commands us to seek him. And then heart that loves God, or the heart that wants to love God, the heart that wants to love God more and more says, I'll do that. I'm gonna focus on being close to you. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Feel how much he needed God, how much he depended on him. He was his life. That's loving God. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. He's completely surrendered to God. He He seeks him. He waits on him. God is his life. He loves him and wants to be close to him. That is loving God. And in this psalm, we find, I think, what could be a practical application for us. Look at verse 8. We should be able to say, we should say with David together, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." There's an active seeking of God's face that becomes the basis of us growing in our love for him. So in this year that's about to start, we should dedicate ourselves individually. Next week we'll talk collectively, but individually, we should each dedicate ourselves to seeking the face of the Lord. So for those of us who are Christians, what that means is every day we should dedicate ourselves to loving Jesus more. We should wake up in the morning and say, I want to love you more today. There's a lot of stuff that immediately starts vying for my attention when I wake up. Good stuff, important stuff, stuff I got to do. But I want to love you more as I go through that day. We should dedicate ourselves to that desire. We should try to spend more time with God as every day goes by. We should try to spend time doing activities, doing things that cultivate love in our heart for God. Sometimes we can be tempted to say, I don't feel it when I read the Bible. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I would sing, but I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like praying. Sometimes it's in the doing of those things that love for God, that the feeling, that the wanting, it becomes, that is cultivated and grows in us as we do those things. So that's reading the Bible. Whether we feel like it or not, it's reading, it's hearing his voice, it's spending time with him, it's praying, it's interceding for other people, conversing with God, talking with God as we go through our day. It's meditating on his word, it's thinking, it's grabbing a phrase. My attention span is really short, so for me, it's trying to grab a word or a phrase, something really short that I could try to hold on to. I don't do it every day. I forget to do it, but it's grabbing that phrase and then thinking about it throughout the day and having a conversation with God throughout the day on that phrase. It's singing his praises. It's breaking forth into song as we go through our day. It's spending time with our Christian family, speaking the gospel. As we do those things, we dedicate ourselves to seeking the face of God. And when those things are our regular activities, our daily activities as we go through life, we love God. We grow to love God more and more. So, question for each of us. If you're a Christian, think about this question. This is a question for us. What can you do to seek God's face more in your daily life? And if you're not a Christian, if you're hearing this and God calls you to seek his face as well, and he calls you to seek his face by surrendering to King Jesus, you seek the face of God by giving your life to him when you repent and are baptized, in that moment accepting him as Savior and Lord. And when you do that, in that moment you receive forgiveness. And the Father pours his love into your heart. Look at one more verse with me. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. We're cutting into the middle of this, but listen to this. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He's talking to Christians there, right, who've received this. But if you're not a Christian, this is an invitation for you to receive that. So, and when you do, when you say, I want that love poured in my heart, I want to be God's child, you can tell someone here, you can repent and be baptized. For those of us who are in Christ, let's finish today by celebrating that, what we just read, that in Christ we have received all of the love from the Father. The reason we can love God is because he first loved us. Read Romans 5:5 again with me. This is true for us who are Christians. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. What we celebrate as we take bread and as we take juice and we remember Jesus' body and blood, we remember the sacrifice of the Son through which we receive all of the love of the Father. So let's do that. Let's take bread and juice. Let's thank the Savior. Let's worship our King. And because of that, let's also dedicate ourselves in this time to seeking the face of our Father every day, throughout this next week and next month and next year together. Let's pray. God, we thank you because you are good and kind and loving. Thank you that you let us know you and love you. Thank you, God, that we can be your children. And thank you that we can know your love and that we can be filled with your love so that we can turn around and love you because you are the being who is the most worthy of our love and our deepest affections. And God, I pray that you would help our love to not grow cold. Help each one of us to seek your face more and more every day. And as we do that, help us to know you more and to be filled more with you, and that you would consume our lives more and more. And in this moment, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he went to the cross. Thank you that because of him, we can be your children and we can know and love you. In his name we pray. Amen.